For example, policies developed in the 1920s about family policy, seen as emancipating women and children even, were reversed. Greater ceremony was restored to what was now said to be an essential institution in Soviet life, marriage and the family. Divorce was made now very difficult and expensive to obtain. Homosexuality, which had largely been ignored, was now made formally a criminal offense. Abortion was outlawed as working against the power and strength of the traditional family. And in the press, if you were reading any Soviet newspaper, one would find regular articles extolling the glories of the traditional family life and the role of women within the family as, above all, mothers. Even the social radicalism we saw during the first five-year plan period was in many ways abandoned by orders from above. For example, these attacks on non-communist, non-worker engineers and professors and other so-called bourgeois experts were formally called off in 1931. Income inequality, which was seen as unsocialist and equalization of the incomes of all people because everybody contributed something useful, this movement toward income equality was also reversed in the 1930s. In addition, sort of reinforcing this, status and rank was in many ways seen as a good thing, as a useful thing, and it was to be reinforced by a privilege, which of course was seen as sustaining loyalty. Privileges were seen as symbolizing success. For example, engineers and managers and heroic workers, who were known as shock workers, were given as a reward for their status and rank and achievement separate eating places, and indeed one should say better eating places, nicer surroundings, better food. Bigger and better apartments in the 1930s were built for members of the elite. Special stores were established where they can buy scarce goods. Special resorts were set up for the elite of party and state and industry, even special parks just for the elite. In education, to give another example, similarly one sees a dramatic reverse toward traditional forms. All the various experiments and educational methods that existed after the revolution and in the 1920s and even in the first five-year plan period were replaced. Instead, formal learning became the rule. Rote memorization, using approved texts, homework, all of this was reinstated, and strict classroom discipline, not the sort of open collectivism talked about in earlier years, was to be the norm. To symbolize this, in fact, all students were obliged to wear school uniforms that looked remarkably like the uniforms students wore before the revolution. In other words, this Stalinist 1930s was an increasingly conservative society. Order, stability, control were the prime values. Another sign of this totalitarian culture of power was a cult of the leader. In particular, this meant Stalin himself, but also posthumously Lenin, who was seen as the leader behind the leader who Stalin in some ways embodied in himself. Everywhere in Russian Soviet society, one saw huge pictures of Stalin and Lenin. Their statements appeared everywhere. In fact, no writer, no scholar could afford to write anything without quoting Stalin and preferably Lenin as well. No matter what the subject, they must have something relevant to say on the matter. Huge ceremonies were staged during the 1930s and well reported in the press and on radio, in which citizens were brought forward, children beautifully dressed, singing songs about their love of Comrade Stalin, the idealism of what a great leader he was. Many of these ceremonies were quite elaborate adulations of Stalin. More ominously, the 1930s were a time of extensive, constant mobilization as if for war against external enemies who threatened the country and against internal enemies who were there posing danger at every turn. Newspapers and posters that were seen in public spaces, lessons in education in the schools, even movies were filled with propagandistic appeals to mobilize for construction, to mobilize for production, and above all, to be on guard against enemies everywhere. And of course, to take action against internal enemies. Denunciations were encouraged against anybody who was against socialism. And many people were arrested already in the early 1930s.